following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
And as 1 John tells us, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Right now, circling above the earth, way above the atmosphere, is the International Space Station. Just recently, we had two astronauts who boarded an experimental spacecraft, and they left the earth headed for the International Space Station. Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams voluntarily went and stepped up for this mission for NASA to try out this experimental spacecraft that was going to take people to the International Space Station and then return. Similar to our space shuttle that has recently been retired, they are experimenting with several other crafts now. And so they were very brave. Their goal was to leave the Earth and for only 8 days board the International Space Station with hopes of returning back home after those 8 days. However, on their maiden voyage to the International Space Station, their experimental craft experienced several malfunctions. Five separate helium leaks in the thrusters. They said that this would probably prevent them from returning or re-entering the atmosphere the way that they should. And there were several other little glitches that they experimented along the way. Kind of sounds like a Chevrolet, don't it? So now this crew that was expected to only be there for 8 days, due to circumstances beyond their control, they are stuck on the International Space Station. There are always people manning the International Space Station. I think there's five or six that currently stay there around the clock, and so they were going to join them. It's a little crowded on the International Space Station right now. But due to circumstances beyond their control, their craft is broken, unable to occupy anyone on its return back to the Earth. So due to circumstances beyond their control, their 8-day mission has now turned into an possibly 8-month mission until they can get another craft prepared to send up there and them to board and return back home. And so when they return home, there's going to be a group of people that's just anxious to see them. They're going to be glad to be back on Earth. Their extended stay will be over with. Someone is going to have to rescue them from the International Space Station and bring them hopefully back to the Earth some point in time. So we're in the book of Luke this morning, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Here's the thing that I want you to see. We're going through the three circles, a way of sharing your faith with others. So the original design was for this craft to bring the astronauts to the International Space Station and then return home at some point in time, 8 days hopefully. That has not been what is going to take place. It has been changed. It has been altered. What we're trying to do in the three circles is we're trying to tell people is that God has a design for you. And we see that people have left God's design because of sin. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. Sometimes it is circumstances beyond our control. And right now we're in the point of finding people in a broken state, unable to get out on their own. When we reach this point of brokenness, we try many different ways. We try works. We try being a good person. Some people turn to alcohol, drugs, addictions to try to help get out of their brokenness, but they find out that there is no way to get out of this brokenness on their own. So what they need is they need a way back to what God's original design is for their life. And that's the point that we're at today. How do we start making our way back to God's design for our life? We've talked about what God's design is for every area of your life, for your marriage, for your rest, for your work, for your sleep. Every area of your life, God has a design for. You are created in a specific way. You are created for a specific purpose. However, it is because of something we know as sin that separates us from God and brings this brokenness into our lives. We live in a broken world. When we studied that topic, we talked about when Jesus said that just as in the days of Noah were, so will it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. So the story that we cover today, we find a young man who has left his intended purpose. He has left his home. He finds himself in a foreign country at the lowest point of his life. And he finally comes to his senses. The story is a very familiar story. It is probably the most well-known parable that Jesus ever used in his teaching here on this earth. And it really, really paints a picture of someone who has left God's design for their life. They're in a state of brokenness. And all of a sudden, this lost young man comes to his senses and realizes this is not where I need to be. And he turns away from this situation that he finds himself in. So today, as we're in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, I want to set a little bit of context. I know the passage reading is verses 11 through 24, but I think it's very, very critical to see how Jesus sets the context for the three parables that he tells in this particular chapter. All three parables refer to something that was once lost and is now found. The first two involve a sheep that has been lost. The shepherd finds him and brings him home. The second one involves a coin that a widow has lost. She cleans her entire house and finally finds that coin and then is excited over finding her coin. But the third and final parable that he tells in chapter 15, the father does not go out searching for the lost son. The lost son comes to his senses and returns back to his father. Most of the times when we look at this parable, we're looking at the forgiveness and the loving kindness of a father, how the father is always watching and waiting for the prodigal son to return. But I think if you look at it in its proper context, it goes much, much deeper than that. Because Jesus was not telling these parables to the lost sinners that he was around on that day. He was telling these parables to the publicans and the Pharisees, the religious people. So let's all stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to look at this third parable in Luke chapter 15, one that you've heard many times before, one that I preached before. But I think it fits very, very well in our illustration of the three circles and how you return a person back to their design for God's design for their life. So let's start by reading the first three verses in chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him, that is Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, and he talks about a man having 100 sheep. He loses the one, goes out and finds it. At the end of that parable, he said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. In the next parable, he tells about the woman who loses a coin. She finds it. And that parable ends in the same manner. It says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So Jesus is talking to the religious people, but he's saying that when one lost person repents and finds their way back to God's design for their life, all of heaven rejoices. And this is where we enter into the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, it is more commonly known. Beginning in verse 11, Jesus goes on to say, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. Be very, very careful of what you ask for. So he divided to them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods Most commentators think that these were the carob pods that had no nutritional value whatsoever. He wanted to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Now watch this. This is where the turning point is. "I will arise and go to my father and say to him," watch this speech that he prepared to tell his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your servant. Make me like one of your slaves." And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." And the father interrupts the speech that the son had prepared. He didn't let him finish the speech, but he tells his son, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Father God, we just pray that you'll open our eyes and open our hearts through this parable. What an incredible story, Lord God, of a relationship that was broken and has been restored. What an incredible story of someone who through life circumstances has become separated from his loving father. And when he came to his senses, Lord God, he knew that his life was created for more than this. So I pray here, Lord God, if there's anyone who has wandered away from God's design for their life, if there's anyone who is wandering around in brokenness, if there's anyone who has brought upon hard times upon themselves, Lord God, I pray that you'll open their eyes and help them to see that you have more for them than what they're going through right now. Speak to us in this moment, Lord God, and help us to see the true meaning of this story. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. So the young son thought that he could do better than what he was experiencing there in his house. He had it made. He had everything that he needed, but he wanted more than that. Some people call this sowing their wild oats. He goes out for a season. The father didn't kick him out of the house. The father wasn't angry at him, but the father did what? He granted his request. So we see here that he asked his father for the inheritance. He packed his bags on his own. He made the journey on his own. He squandered the inheritance on his own. He paid to live in sin. However, it was the one event that really put him flat on his back that he had no control over. Who controlled that famine that came across the land? God did. God allowed that to happen and put that young man in a situation to where he had no other option but to return back to his home. It was the famine that God allowed to come upon the land that really caused this young man to come to his senses. The first point that I want you to see in this parable is that God tries to gain our attention through every circumstance. Woe is me. Why is all this bad stuff happening in my life? What is going on here? Doesn't God love me anymore? Yes, he does love you. He's trying his best to get your attention. You see, when things are going good, we have no need of a God. When things are going the way that we want them to, we don't typically turn towards the Lord. It's only when those bad situations take place and we're flat on our back, we look up and say, "God, if you are really there, please get me out of this situation." So I really, really believe that every situation that comes in our life, every circumstance that we come up against, is God's way of lovingly turning us back towards his design for our life. When we're in a state of brokenness, when we're in a state of desperation, we cry out to God, "God, save me from this mess that I'm in. I know I've made a mistake. I know I'm living in sin. I know my life is not where it needs to be. God, what can you do to get me out of this? Your circumstances will either do one of two things in your life. They'll either make you bitter or they'll make you better. They'll either turn you further away from God that is lovingly trying to draw you to himself, or they will turn you back to him and learn how to trust in him and live your life walking by faith and trust in him. Josh Shipp in this next slide had this to say. He says, you either get bitter or you get better. It's that simple. You either take what has been dealt to you and allow it to make you a better person, or you allow it to tear you down. Choice does not belong to fate. It belongs to you. So when we're in a state of brokenness, we have decisions that we make. We try to do it on our own. Every attempt we try to get back to God and get back to this design ends in brokenness. Our only option is to repent, to turn away from our mistakes, and to turn toward a God who loves us in so many ways. The Father never quit looking for that Son. The Father never disowned that Son. The Father wasn't judgmental toward the decisions that he had to make. But I truly believe that that Father was every day looking down the road to see, when is my Son going to return home? Here's the thing about sin. We see it in the story of Jonah as well. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. When you drift away from the Lord and get further and further away from his design for your life, he will begin creating situations and bringing circumstances into your life that you had not planned on and never expected. Did those astronauts who boarded that spacecraft, did they expect to experience all those malfunctions? Probably not. They know the rigorous testing that each one of those vehicles goes through. Were they expecting to stay up there for 8 long months? No, they were expecting to stay for only 8 days and then return safely home. Some of those circumstances were beyond their control, but they were the ones that made the decision, the ultimate decision, to step aboard that spacecraft. This son was not forced to leave his home, but the decisions that he made and those circumstances that he experienced, most of them were by his own choice. But the one that really broke him, and I think that's why Jesus leaves that one for the last, he said that after he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. What is it that the human soul really, really longs for? What is it that we are in need of more than anything else? We're in need of a loving Father to take us in, to give us everything that we need, to let us know that we are here for a purpose and for a reason, and that he has a design for our life. But the issue is that we deal with a sin nature each and every day. Listen, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have a sin nature anymore. When you are born again, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your sin nature still exists. It's just you have a spiritual nature that comes on board, and that's when the battle begins. Which one are you going to surrender to? Which one are you going to cater to? That's going to be the one that gets to be the strongest. If you cater to that sinful nature, it's going to overtake you. But the Apostle Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. When a person is in a state of brokenness, they try all sorts of things to help them deal with the pain and the areas of that life that have been broken. And that's exactly what the lost son did. What did he do? He spent all his money on riotous living. Here in just a little while, his older brother speaks into some of the things that he did that Jesus didn't say in this first part of the parable. But I think that what he did, he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Jesus just kind of summarizes it into that. He didn't go into all the specific details. But he said the living that he made, The life that he lived while he was away was living in brokenness. And I would have to think that it would be just like in the days of Noah, where they were eating and they were drinking and they were giving into marriage. I think that prodigal living can all be lumped up into that. And so what did that young man do? He joined in with a person from another country. He surrendered himself. God, what do you want me to do? I'll feed your hogs, whatever it is that you want me to do. And he said that it was at that point he was in his fields feeding swine. He would have gladly filled his stomach with some of the food that the very swine were eating. He had reached the lowest point in his life and he had nowhere else to turn. And that's when we see the turning point in verse 17. But when he came to himself, here's what I want you to see. God tries to gain our attention through every circumstance. Everything that that young man encountered, he was stepping further and further and further out of the will of God. And God brought that one circumstance in his life for a reason. Point number two, every circumstance is God's way of bringing us to true repentance. And that's what God is doing. He is putting every circumstance in your way, trying to turn you away from the direction that you're headed in. And he's trying to turn you back to himself. And so this whole process of bringing someone through these three circles, that's what you're wanting to do. You're wanting to let them see the life that you're living right now is not where you need to be. This is not what God had created for you. Your only hope is to do a 180 and to repent of the lifestyle that you're living. Acknowledge that you are not living your life for the Lord right now. And the word repentance is not found specifically in this parable. But if you look at the word repentance in the original Greek language, it is the word metanoia. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from. It is a transformation. It is a change. It's not just being sorry about something. It's saying, I want to do better. I want my heart and my mind to be completely transformed. The definition of the word repentance is a change of mind which results in a change of lifestyle. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Repentance is knowing that you have sinned against God and you've gotten as far away from him as you possibly can. Repentance means that you know that you're living in a state of brokenness and you've tried everything you can to get out by yourself, but that didn't work. Repentance is saying, I've got to get back to God. And the only way to do that is to turn away from this lifestyle that I'm living. And that's exactly what this young man did. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I am perishing with hunger. What was it that brought the lost son to his senses? It was when he came to himself. Watch this. It wasn't because his father scolded him. It wasn't because his father or anyone else was being judgmental. It wasn't because his father punished him. It wasn't because his father put a curfew on him or cut his allowance. This young man got down as low as he could and he remembered the goodness of his father. He said, I have a father who has bread enough to eat. He feeds his servants better than what I'm eating. I left all of that because I went my own way and I went against the ways that my father had brought me up to live. He said, I've reached as low as I could go and there's only one place I can turn to. Have you reached a point in your life where you've come to your senses? Where you know that you can't make it on your own. Where you know that your life has not gone in the direction that the Lord has wanted you to go. Have you reached a point in your life where you know you're not living according to God's design for your life? Where did you look to? Where did you turn to? Where did you go from there? Have you had that transformation? I'm not saying have you asked God to forgive you. That's one thing that we definitely need to do. But you say, God, I want you to forgive me, and God, I want to do better. I don't ever want to go back to that lifestyle again. I've lived in the gutters long enough. And look, when I think about this young man and where he's at, I always try to think of the filthiest situation that I've ever experienced in my life. New Orleans is not my most favorite place in the world to be. I've only been there a couple of times. I was probably about 45 years old before I stepped foot into the city of New Orleans. But I saw some things there that I never want to see again. I saw people lying in their own urine and vomit. I've smelt the stench before. I've seen the garbage that was left after a night on Bourbon Street. I didn't go on Bourbon Street partying. But I saw the results of a night of people living in sin, lying in their own puke and vomit. And you know what the only thing that separates them from us is? The grace of God. We've tasted and we've experienced the grace of God, and they haven't. We reached a turning point in our life at some point in time, and they have yet to reach that turning point. So when I think about this prodigal son, I think of somebody who is wallowing in pig poop, mud, slop, and he's saying, I wish I could at least eat what those hogs are eating. My stomach is cramping because it is so hungry. There's something that I'm missing out on. I've gotten as low as I can go in life. Sin has overtaken me, and I can't get out of this situation on my own. And then they come to themselves and say, I know what I need to do. I need to get back to my father. My father has riches untold. My father has everything I need. And if I could just get back to where I started from, to where I was created to be, that's what repentance is all about. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 has this to say, if you want to write this verse down. Paul says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God loves you so much. God loves me so much. And God doesn't want to see you living in a state of brokenness at all. That's not what he created you for. God wants you to experience the goodness of his love and his mercy and his grace. And the proof of it is the cross of Calvary. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were living in that hog slop, while we were lying in our own puke and vomit and urine, God loved us and made us a way to get out of that situation and get back to him. And it's called the blood of Jesus Christ. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember that definition of the word repentance. It is a change of mind. This young man came to himself, and it was a change of his lifestyle. He says, I'm not going to live like that anymore. The least I can do is go back and be my father's servant. I must arise and go back to my father's house. And that's what repentance is. When you're driving along Highway 90, there's a series of these turnarounds in the medians. Most places call them U-turns. I don't know why they call them J-turns around here. I don't know if that's the Cajun name for them or not. Y'all use the Cajun alphabet for them. But that's what a J-turn is. That's what a U-turn is. You realize I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm headed towards Lafayette, and I want to be headed towards Amelia. I need to get around. How do I get back? Oh, there's one of those J-turns. All I got to do is put my blinker on. You know, you use those blinkers when you want to let other people know you're about to turn, right? Y'all do know how to do that, right? I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm getting further and further and further away from my destination and where I need to be. I'm going to be late. They're going to be waiting on me. I have got to turn around 180 degrees. Now I'm going in the right direction. I'm getting closer to my destination, and that's where I need to be. And that's exactly what you want to do when you share this three circles with someone. You let them know, hey, you're going the wrong way. You're getting further and further away from God. You're getting deeper and deeper in sin, and that is not where God wants you to be. God has made a way for you to turn and repent and get back to his design for your life. And that's exactly what this young man did. This next slide, A.T. Robertson is a great commentator. I use a lot of his stuff. And he says this about repentance. He says, repentance means to make a right about face. It is a change of mind and attitude. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's not just apologizing because you got caught in your sin. It's saying, I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live God's design for my life. I want to experience all the riches of His good and His mercy and His love. And the only way to do that is to do an about face. The next thing I want you to see is how he was received by his earthly father. Most of the times people try to parallel this earthly father with God the Father. I don't think that's necessarily the main point of this parable. It is a parallel that you can make. But whenever the young man apologizes, and when Jesus uses that apology to explain this parable, he actually separates God the Father and the young man's earthly father. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And when he makes his apology to the father doesn't scold him. He doesn't judge him. He does not condemn him. Hey, look, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. People do not need a judge these days. And let me tell you, if someone were to walk through those doors smelling like alcohol, they don't smell good, they don't look good, they don't sound like you, they don't talk like you, you better not condemn them. They're not in the wrong place. They're in the right place. They're exactly where they need to be. And God has brought them here for a reason. And you better welcome them with open arms. If you got to hold your nose to do it, you better hold your nose and do it. But don't you dare judge that person and condemn them. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they've gone through. And you've forgotten that you were in that situation yourself at some point in time. And it's only by the grace of God that you are here now. The next thing I want you to see is this. No matter how far a person has strayed from God's design, they still deserve a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance, however many times it takes to get them back around to where God's design is for their life. And that's exactly what this father did to his son when he came home. The father was waiting. Not only was he waiting, he ran to meet this son. Look in verse 20. This young man, he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, this is what lets me know that this father was waiting every day patiently. Long-suffering is how the Bible puts it. He's patiently waiting for his father to come home. Oh, how many times has he prayed, God, just bring my young son home. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what he's doing. God, I don't care. Just bring him home. This father was waiting and he ran. This was not typical in this culture for an elderly man to run. But Jesus brings this out in this parable and said that he ran to meet his son. He had compassion on him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Even in his tattered clothes, smelling like hog slop and no telling what else. He was dirty, he was filthy, but yet his father was so glad to see him that he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him and he welcomed him home. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father cuts him off right there. This son didn't even get to finish the prepared speech that he had. He was going to make the father an offer. Father, I'm willing to just be your slave. And the father wouldn't have no part of that. He cut him off. The father said to his servants, look, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. It was a symbol of identification. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Watch this now. Verse 24. This is very, very important. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people who need no repentance. This word dead here, in the Greek word, language, it is the word nekros, which describes a corpse, a dead body. His father said, well, I've already had a funeral. I thought my son was dead. I didn't know where he was at. I thought he was lost. I thought I would never see him again. Kind of like these astronauts that are on the International Space Station. They might be thinking, we're going to be here forever. We're never going to get back. This father said, my son was once dead, but yet here he is. Now he's alive. And in the original language, it means spring to life. And it's repeated in verse 32 when this father is talking to the oldest son. We're going to cover that in just a moment. Listen closely to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. That's exactly where this lost son was. He was dead in his trespasses. Paul says, but because God is rich in his mercy and his love for us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he has made us alive together with Christ. Isn't that good news there? Man, if you can't remember that time in your life where you was dead, you were separated from God, you were living in brokenness, you had nowhere else to turn, but God lifted you up. He brought you into new life. He allowed his son, Jesus Christ, his spirit to come and live within you, and he resurrected what was inside of you. The lost son had found his way back to his original rightful place with his father, and the father didn't judge him and didn't condemn him. And the whole house rejoiced and celebrated except for one person. And now you're going to get, like Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Follow along with me. Let's see what this older son had to say when the lost son came home. Remember, Jesus was talking to the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees. That's exactly who these three parables were pointed to. And I think he's describing exactly how the scribes and the Pharisees responded to the sinners and the tax collectors that were in their presence that day. After this father threw a big party, killed the fatted calf, they were eating and having merry because his dead son is now alive again. The older son gets wind of it. And here's his response. The older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house and heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. I hope and I pray that you're never in the situation that Jesus describes here in verse 28 about the older son. But he was angry. He wouldn't even go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Father, many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad for your brother. For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There are going to be some people who live their lives in sin for the majority of their life, probably about 90% of their life, and they're going to make heaven by the skin of their teeth at the end of their life cycle. They're going to repent of their sins. They're going to ask Jesus to save them. God's going to make them a new creation. There are some of you who were saved at a very young age. You've never wandered away from God's commandments. You live your life as holy and righteous as you possibly can. And when you see someone like that, you say, well, I worked hard all my life to be a good person, be a Christian, to live my life the way that I was supposed to. They've lived it up all of these years, and now all of a sudden God has saved them. That's not right, preacher. I hope that's never you, because that's exactly the situation that Jesus is describing right here. Here's the thing. There's a quote by Leonard Ravenhill that I want to share with you. It's on this next slide. It says that the devil has two major tricks with people. One is this: you're so good that you don't need to be saved. And the other one is you're so bad that you can't be saved. And the devil's a liar on both of these. And so in this parable, you see three people. And you can probably relate with one of these three people right now. Maybe number one, maybe you're the concerned parent. You have that prodigal child that you're waiting on. Don't give up. Pray for them every day. They're out there. God is doing some things in their life, trying to turn them around. God hears your prayers for them. You're anxiously praying and waiting for your prodigal child to return. Jim Simbla is pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. He writes several books, and in one of those books, he has a story of his daughter turning into a prodigal child. And one Wednesday night, he had his whole congregation praying for that child. Jim and his wife prayed and wept for that child. And then all of a sudden, one night, there was a call on the phone. Out of the clear blue, he didn't know what was going on, and it was his daughter. She said, Daddy, I need to come home. Some of you right now, you're praying for that child, and that's the person who you can relate to the most in this parable, is the father that waited, patiently looked for his son to return home. So here in just a moment, when the invitation begins, if you need to come to this altar and pray for your prodigal child, I would encourage you to do that. God honors the sacrifice of someone who spends time in prayer. The next person you might be able to relate to is the lost son. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've strayed so far away from God's design for your life, you think that there's no way out and there's no way that God will ever accept you. You feel like there's no use in trying to come back. Don't stay away. Don't stay away any further and any longer than you have to. Let today be your turning point. Let today be the day that you take that J-turn or that U-turn, whichever you want to call it, and you come out of your brokenness and you go closer to God's design for your life. Psalm 51 is probably one of the greatest psalms that involves repentance. David confesses about his adulterous affair from Bathsheba. If there was ever anyone that God should not have forgiven, it was David. But David knew that God was not like that. He said, Lord, cleanse me and forgive me and make me a new person. And that's exactly what he did. Maybe today you can relate to the lost son. Don't stay away any longer. Come back to a father that loves you so much. Be a part of a church family that wants to help you recover from whatever life is thrown at you. Or the third person, maybe you're the jealous, angry brother. You don't think it's fair that you've been faithful all of your life when someone who has led a prodigal's life makes it into heaven by the skin of their teeth. Let me tell you something. If this is you, you need to be the first one to this altar to repent today. Because here's what Jesus said in all three of these parables. He said, all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. I've been in several football stadiums. I've been in Tiger Stadium, Death Valley before. When LSU makes a touchdown, all you can do is hold your ears. Man, it's such a thunderous sound. It just shakes the ground underneath you. Heaven celebrates more than that when one person walks this aisle and asks for forgiveness and says, I want to live a new life. I want to turn away from my brokenness. I don't want to find out what God's design is for my life. Right now in heaven, they're celebrating going on. They're praising, they're worshiping Jesus. But according to what Jesus says in each one of these parables, when someone gives their heart to the Lord, all of that stops and all attention is on what's going on in that moment. Man, can you imagine that? All of heaven rejoicing when one person repents of their sins. So if that's you today, I want you to come back to God's design for your life. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He died so that you could have a way to return from your brokenness. Do like Dave Wilkerson says here on your outline, come boldly into his throne of grace. Even when you have sinned and failed, he forgives instantly those who repent with godly sorrow. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In this moment of invitation, it's time for you to respond to what you've heard. According to what we've seen in this parable, every person in this congregation, every person in this sanctuary falls into one of those three categories right now. So as soon as the music begins, if God has spoken to your heart, I would ask you to just get up out of your seat. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Don't worry about who's watching. The cameras are off. We don't put this invitation on live stream. This is a very, very intimate, private moment. So you don't have to worry about that. Nobody's going to look down on you. Nobody's going to make fun of you. You just be obedient to what the Lord is telling you to do in this moment. I don't know what kind of a decision you're facing. I don't know where you've been. I'm not going to ask for all of those details. I'm not going to gossip about you. I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not going to condemn you. All I want for you is God's best for your life. All I want for you right now is to make sure that you're headed in the direction that God wants you to go in. So whatever it is that you're dealing with, the time to bring it to the altar is right now. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, thanking you so much for your love for us. And Lord, in this moment, I know you've touched some hearts today. I know you've touched mine as I was preparing this message. And God, I don't ever want to be the same again. I for sure don't want to go back to my old lifestyle, Lord. I don't want to be separated from you any further than I need to be. Lord, what I want to do right now is I want to run to your open arms to let you know that I've sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I pray for each and every person in this building today that they would find forgiveness and mercy and grace in the open arms of a loving Heavenly Father that wants the best for their life. I pray during this moment, Lord God, you would give people the boldness to respond to whatever situation it is they're dealing with, Lord God. Help them to overcome those obstacles and help them more than anything to see Jesus Christ. We just ask it all in your most perfect and holy name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.